you have more faith than I do. And this just boom. Yeah. Cool. So we pray for Maz as she gets ready to share. Father, thank you for Marion. Thank you that she is just one of your absolute warriors in the spiritual realm, and that she just always brings such power when she speaks, Lord. Father, I pray that you speak through her. Father, I pray for us as we receive what you're speaking through her tonight. Father, may we be open. May you help shape and move us forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, hi, welcome to our new people. It's good to have you, people who I haven't met before. Sorry, I'd love to meet you some stage. So there's a few people in the room that don't know Ed and I, which is cool. So we've recently been on a holiday to the UK with Ed's family. So Ed's English, and we've just been back there for 4 weeks. And we had an amazing experience visiting family and friends, and we caught up with both sets of grandparents that Ed still has, and Ed's parents' friends, and some of them were over from Vancouver, which was great. The timing, it just all aligned. So we caught up with so many people, we had so many special connections and moments. Ed's brothers, we saw both his brothers and spent quality time with them, so it was pretty cool. And I reckon we're pretty lucky, and I'm not boasting, okay? Just please don't ever think that I'm boasting by sharing from here. And I think our kids are pretty lucky. Like, I don't know how many little kids get to travel to the other side of the world so young. And then also as adults, I don't know, what I'm really trying to get across here is how good God is. How many adults get to travel with their kids? You know, like I've done the long haul before, but I went on my own, and it was with work. So you don't really get to do things like that when it's work-related with your family. So we're totally stoked. And really, it all came about from the most amazing but simple way, and it's through talking to God. And so there's two things I'd like to touch on tonight. And one of them is that God is faithful and God is good. And the second thing, which I'll touch on a bit later, is a little bit about how can we reflect that to the world around us. And I just want to say, I'm really starting to feel stirred in this. Like, this should be the culture that we live by. And I looked at what culture means, and it's the ideas, the customs, the social behaviour of a particular people or society. So let's, I don't know, I just want to be encouraged to that this is our culture, that God is good, and we want to share that. Okay, so, but first, you know, we need to experience the goodness of God for ourselves. I mean, it's pretty important, I guess, if you want to share about how good is God, that you have an understanding of that for yourself. And so, I want to encourage all of us to pursue God and His goodness as a lifestyle. And that's part of our culture, to pursue God through a personal, close relationship with Him. And so last year, Ed goes to me, "So, honey, I have something I would like to talk to you about." And I'm like, and I always go, "Oh, no." Like, it normally means something big when Ed says that. And he goes, "I think it's time we go to the UK as a family." And I thought, yeah, okay, well, we've thought about that for years. And he goes, "But I think that we need to go mid-next year." So he puts a time on it. And so I'm like, okay, in my head, how possible is this? Okay, so I think that you need to pray about that because it will be a miracle. Leave it with you. And that's honestly the attitude I took on that. And it's one you can pray about. And, you know, 6 weeks later, we were booking our flights. And so two miracles happened there. One is that the possibility of going to the UK as a family was becoming a reality. And the second one was that Ed heard from God very clearly. Hallelujah! And, you know, like, some people hear clearly from God all the time, and others it's a different process. And that's okay. And so for Ed to hear clearly from God was okay, this is massive. This is, God is answering prayers. There's something pretty special happening here. But, you know, God knows the desires of our hearts. And going to the UK as a family has been a desire of Ed's heart for a long time. And God's known that. And I think that Ed is a quiet, faithful guy. And sort of reflected in here, Proverbs 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. But whatever, be still before the Lord and wait patiently and delight in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I think that's really summed up by our trip to the UK, is that Ed has faithfully waited on God. And so we went to the UK and it was awesome. And we had heaps of special moments. And then while we were there, we just covered every day with prayer. And I must say that every day was perfect. And what I mean by that is every day we were safe. Every day we had everything we needed. We had special times with special people. We had special times just with us as a family. We saw squirrels. It didn't rain at inconvenient times because it rained a lot. And not once with all the walking did we get drenched. Like, it could have happened. Like, it would be pouring. And I'm like, okay, now we've got to walk, 3 Ks to the train station with all our luggage. And, oh, well, we just have to get ready to go. And then it would stop. And we would just walk in just like the beautiful clearing up skies. It was awesome. So God's good. He was good to us in so many different ways. And there was always a solution when things went wrong. And of course things go wrong. But there was always a solution. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't already know, God is faithful. God is good. Right. So I have a few photos of our trip. And so a lot of pages have three. What's the first one, Kanika? Okay, so Alna Street is where we stayed, and so there's a lot of brick, and it's a lot of that colour everywhere we went, so somehow I just felt inspired to photograph it. So I've got lots of brick photos. Anyway, next one, this is the street we stayed on, that's the food bank, the top corner, and then another brick building that I did in black and white, just for a different colour. But I just was trying to, like, capture also, like, do you have a feel when you look at these pictures? Does it feel a little bit lonely, maybe? Like, the mood to me was a bit lonely in Wellingborough. Anyway, I think those photos sort of show that. Anyway, we'll move on. Next one. These are common sights that we saw. There's the front door straight off the street into the house. Mill Road is where Ed's dad's parents' church is, Mill Road Baptist. And then the bottom one, which looks derelict, is the train station in Wellingborough. The next one. Okay, so we travelled all sorts of ways, by pram, by double-decker bus, and by train. Next one. And by plane. And we walked a lot. We just walked and walked and walked. Next one. And these are some of the places we saw. So this one is an old ruins called a castle, Tintagel, or Tintagel. Hey, babe. Tintagel. Okay. And then Olney in the top corner was like, we travelled through on a bus, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is actually a pretty village. We have to visit this place. But to get it to it from Wellingborough, there's no direct bus or anything, so we had to go this long roundabout way, and I just had to go to Olney because actually there was a pretty place, and it was quite nice. And then that's a park we went to, the kids playing on. And then so food, we ate a lot. I think I put on 4 kilos. Ed's mum is a feeder, like it's just cake. Oh, a kilo a week I think I did. So these scones here, right, these are scones. Who knows what kind of... I know, Ed knows. What would you call those scones in New Zealand? Yeah, Devonshire scones. anyway, I got shot for saying that. These are cream tea, and it goes the clotted cream first, then the jam. Well, it's upside down, isn't it? That's why they're on the other side of the world. Anyway, big debates, and that's actually Cornwall scones. Not even Devonshire. Devon people would kill you for calling that Devonshire scone. Or is that the Devon way? No, the upside down way is Devon. The other way, with the jam and then the cream, is the... Far out, man. It's complicated when you just want to eat some scones, and you can't call them scones, they're scones. Like, anyway, I was talking to the guy at the bar, can I have some scones? I want some scones. Yeah, I'll have such and such scones. And then he goes, yeah, cool. So the price for your scones. And I went, ah! And he goes, oh, scones! I got them. Called them scones. Anyway, Ed and his brothers, they like just laughing all the time. And then this is this little cafe that I found like on the last day that we were in Wellingborough. A cafe that I quite liked. Anyway, I found it on the last day that we were there. Yeah, that's all right. Next one. This sort of sums up our time with Ed's parents. eating. Who did a lot of eating. Eating, food. Okay, next one. So this is at Tintagel. So this little cave was probably like the larder for the castle. So it's quite interesting. You know, we were out on this, it's a bit of a peninsula. It was medieval times, and there were people there that probably landed there first, and then they were wiped out. And they reckon it was King Arthur, the legend. Not necessarily true, but legendarily King Arthur was there with his castle and his all the different rooms and things that you need for a castle. And this would have been the larder. This really cold cave would have been where they kept all the food, it's proposed. And then up there you see these little hedge things. They're like just the left of the ruins of the castle. That's all that was left. So it's quite interesting. And squirrel! And I found this really interesting. This is at the National Science Museum. And so we're talking about future ways of driving. And so this car here is like, a sleeper car. So driverless technology, 5G, I suppose, technology where you don't have to drive and the car drives you. You just tell it where you want to go. And so the thinking here is, because you don't have to drive and it's safe, it's not going to crash, why not have a stained glass car? Because it's safe, it's not going to crash. So just make it as pretty as you can out of glass. Like, can you imagine? Anyway, and then why not sleep? So why not even bother sitting up looking? Just sleep. So that's that design. Kind of reminds me of like Sleeping Beauty or something. Anyway, the top one is a racing car. Would you want to watch that sort of racing? Where there is no driver. It's like massive remote control cars, but it's all just programmed and it just races without a driver. Would you be interested in that racing? Not very interesting, yeah. Anyway, and then our roots, I suppose. I just thought that was interesting, where we came from, horse and carriage. Nice contrast, next one. Sometimes. And our kids had all sorts of experiences in sleeping. Manny Rose just curled up in a ball in a pram. Israel just found some seats and squirreled his way in. And yep, so we slept in all sorts of places, in all sorts of ways. Next one. Oh, okay, so this picture is where we're going to stop and chat. And this is obviously a selfie. And... Okay, so we'll just leave that picture up, and I'm just going to ask, how many other people, other than us, did you see in those photos? Is actually a trick question, because really I didn't really include any photos of other people, but they were certainly there were other people everywhere we went, But mostly I found, Ed might find it differently because it's where his, it's like where he comes from, but I found that other people seemed a bit cold and a bit closed and like disconnected, you know, like it felt odd to me because we're not like that in Raglan. Like if I walking down the street and someone's walking the other way, we actually both look at each other and say hi in Raglan. It's just, and so I thought, I'll just carry on as usual while I'm in the UK. I'm not going to change. I'm just going to say hi to people. And nobody responded. It was like it was foreign to them, which was then foreign to me that no one responded. So it was just like this everywhere. And then riding on the underground or the train was much the same, where making eye contact, what you just felt awkward. And then if you smiled at someone, it was creepy. And then talking to someone was just like outrageous. You just don't do that. And so it got me thinking about how do things get that way? And you could say, oh, you know, it's big cities or areas where people travel through and it's an inconvenience to, you know, like you're just going and the connections are not there because you're just passing through. And I was just wondering, is that happening in our lives? You know, like it's a good checkup, I suppose, where we're at now. When we go to work or we're going somewhere, do we just like mostly pass through and connecting with somebody along the way? Is it inconvenient? And we just keep going with our busy lifestyles. And like what would it take for Raglan to become like that? You know, I wonder if we got to a certain size, if we'd become more like that and become more like strangers in our own town. Or what would it be like? What would it take for you and me to come like that? And are we already like that? So it's a good question that I ask myself, and I admit that maybe I am becoming a bit cold sometimes, and I don't like that. I don't mean for that to happen. In this photo, it's the 9th of August, and Ed and I were caught in the UK's biggest unplanned power outage in a decade, and I asked Roger if he heard of it on the news, and he said no. Did anyone hear about it? Yeah. Two people. That's how. Anyway, it was massive. And so just so happens that lightning struck two power plants at the same time, and then a bunch of reserve generators shut down because of the surge in electricity through the grid. And there was a national power outage. And it affected homes, trains, airports. Like, we're hearing that it's affecting the airport, sitting there watching planes coming in to Heathrow. Like, but I suppose you don't need power. It's just more like radar, Morse code. I don't know. But the planes were still landing. What else did it affect? All of the underground. Can you imagine being in there without any power in the underground? Traffic lights. Yep, so massive. So we had just boarded a train to return from London to Ed's parents. So we had 2 hours to go on a train. And we were just sitting there in our seats. We were waiting for the journey. And then just people were just rushing into the train. It was 6 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. So I guess it's like rush hour and people were just wanting to get home for the weekend. And they're all just rushing in. There's luggage, there's people, there's stress, there's people on their phones. And the aisles are jammed and the seats are full and people trying to stick their luggage somewhere. And you just see the stress and the tension. And we're sitting in our seats quite happy, just watching. And then it was announced that the power had gone out and we had to wait and see what would happen. And it was just interesting to watch the mood in that cabin. People sort of went from that discontentment and stress and being impersonal to just being a little bit irritable and impatient and surprised at what was happening and a bit of disappointment. And then we heard that it was going to take a little bit longer. And then all of a sudden the cabin just changed. And, you know, there were people who really needed to get somewhere. And so they would say, oh, no, I'm going to miss my such and such. And this person will go, why don't you get da 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 da? Why don't you? So there's people throwing out ideas. Why don't you get an Uber? Yeah, but the traffic lights are out. So just all around the train, people start pulling together and start helping each other. And then food is being shared, card games are being played, conversations, laughter starts happening. This is a cabin full of strangers, and it was just really special to be there in this what seemed cold and impersonal kind of culture to just erupt with care and thought and consideration and life. It was awesome. And then there was like groups being formed that would venture out together. So this is us venturing out our train. We were told after 2 hours of sitting in there that our train ride is cancelled and we have to get off the train. So this is us outside of the boarding gates, which people are always flowing through. People don't stand around. And these people just don't know what, I would say, they just don't know what to do. That they're still standing at the gates to get onto a train, even though we're told these trains aren't going to move. Like, these people are just, don't know what to do, frozen. So anyway, we move, and we're in a group of four. And it's like just total strangers. The two other people don't know each other, don't know us, and we just pull together. We're going to get food, work out how we're all individually going to get home. And then it was just great, fantastic. But why did it take a national power outage? Like, to pull together with people. And you can say, oh, well, that's a big city. And we're a small town. It's not likely to happen in Raglan. We're different. But I think that we have to be really careful that we don't become cold and that our culture doesn't become that way in Raglan and personally and also within our church. You know? Like, we've had a lot of visitors lately and they all need to be welcomed in and connected with. And I know I can do better than this. Than what I'm doing, I can do better. And I just want to encourage us all that we need to remain personally responsible for the culture that we carry and we build, and that we keep open and warm and kind and available, and even be inconvenienced to make a connection somewhere. And it all comes down to love, and like what we've been hearing at Sisters is to love louder. And simply put, it's the greatest commandment to love God and to love people as we love ourselves. So back on that night of the power outage, we got home 5 hours later than we should have. So it's still 7 hours to travel home. We had plans for that evening, which we didn't make it to. We had our kids to get home to. They were okay. They were with grandparents. But we had an amazing time connecting with people. Let's keep changing the culture for good. By the way that we connect and chat with people, and how we respond to people in situations, and we should be seeing the fruit of God's Spirit through our lives. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what we should be seeing. In Matthew 5, that we should be the light to the world, and it says the light being something that shines in the darkness, or the warmth in the cold, in the cold culture, we should be the warmth there. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So these opportunities can be used as bridges, you know, to invite someone to church, or to offer to pray for a situation as you connect with people along the way in these little places. Pastor Roger was saying he makes it an effort to connect with people in the coffee shop by learning their name. It's just something small, something simple, something practical, something that makes a difference, you know. We can all do that. And then, you know, it opens up situations to talk about how good God is, because he's good. So yeah, overall we have to work hard at keeping a positive culture about us. Ultimately, a culture of expressing our love for God and our love for people and our love for church. Isn't that what our statement is? Jesus, people, purpose. Yep. So that bridges are created for others to be able to join into that experience of the goodness of God for themselves. So I just like to pray for us. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and you are good. And you're available to us if we just press in and seek you. You're right there, open, eager, arms wide open, just looking forward to getting to know, for us to get to know you better and what you like and how cool you are. And I just pray, Lord, that as we capture that and we learn for ourselves how good you are, that we can express that openly and freely through the way we inconvenience ourselves for others and spend time and just chat and care for people. And so I just pray for more of that, Lord, that you help us to be filled with your Holy Spirit so we can just see that fruit developing in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Marion. Let's give Marion a hand for that. It's so true. It's so true. It's all about relationship, isn't it? And friendship and just being there.